Well, bless you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for inviting me here. It's amazing. It's a privilege. As you know, I'm Florin. If you don't know, I'm Florin. And I'm serving as the minister in training at Addlestone Baptist Church. Apologies for my wife. So I have a wife and four children. She couldn't be here. They couldn't be here. They're helping out in Addlestone Baptist Church. We have four children. Just a quick introduction for those of you who don't know me. We have four children, so three boys and one girl. Two young adults, but don't cheer on. They're still living with us, so still with us. I have a teenage daughter, 14. Yes, so I'm losing some hair, but it's fine. I know it's temporary. She's my favorite daughter as well. And then we have Matthew, 9 years old. He still lives with us as well, so we're all together. Over the years, you know, I had the privilege to serving the Lord together with King's Church in various church activities and occasions, and you are such a great blessing for us at Addlestone Baptist Church, for me personally, for my family as well. I remember my children used to do a youth group here together with Addlestone Baptist Church, so we've been blessed, and we are blessed over the years, reminding us this amazing truth that we are together a family of God. We are together co-workers on this earth to expand His kingdom. And that is so encouraging and it's so amazing. So today, as part of a teaching series here at King's of Being Church, I will, with God's help, I will share the message about abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ, this is for us to reflect of what it means for us as a church and as individuals to abide in Christ. And I know this is a challenging season for King's Church without a minister. Please be encouraged. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is your shepherd. You're in His loving hands. And He is faithful. He will never let you. He will never forsake you. And at ABC, as you know, we've been through a similar time, about for a year and a half without a minister. And it wasn't easy, but we saw God's hand sustaining us, supporting us. We saw people stepping in, helping with different activities. So I'm sure God will move in your midst as we celebrating today, actually, we remember the Pentecost. The Holy Spirit will move amongst you and will call you to help, holding each other in truth and love, drawing us all closer to Him. Of course, we prayed at Addlestone Baptist Church, and yes, God did provide. Well, not a minister of the quality I was expected, but there you go. They have to put up with me for now, so perhaps you need to pray harder in this place. I'm very happy to be here and serving the Lord together, and Katie kindly agreed to read the passage for us this morning from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. Let's open our hearts, our minds, and hear God's word.
So, on the Church Bibles, page 1083, something like that. John 15, verse 1 to 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
Amen. Thank you very much. Wow. A passage full of teachings and amazing good principles for us all. Well, has anyone succeeded in keeping a plant alive without water or sunlight? No, no. It dries. And in John 15, here our Lord Jesus gives us a picture of what it means to stay spiritually alive and fruitful. He says, I am the vine and you, all of us, are the branches. Now, this is such a simple image, but with an amazing spiritual truth. And as always, I like when our Lord Jesus Christ is trying to explain the complexity, the wonders of his kingdom, of the place he's coming from, using simple examples from nature, in this case, a vine. And this passage is like us looking through a keyhole, understanding, if you like, the history of mankind in a nutshell. Because we are presented here with God as the gardener. He is the creator of everything we see. And then Jesus, the Son of God, as the vine, the one God sent on this earth to die for us, to be resurrected for us, so that we all from all nations to be in him, to live in him and bear fruits. And in chapter 14 earlier, we see God the Holy Spirit as well presented as the comforter, the advocate. So we see this simple passage explains in a way everything that we are, everything that we see. And for the listeners in Jesus's time, this passage has even deeper significance because, as you know from Old Testament texts, Israel was considered by God as his vineyard. And how many times Israel turned their back to God and God tried to prune them and send them prophets and send them messengers and send them kings, always trying to restore them and bring them back to his mercy and his love. But we know that that didn't really work. So then God has to send the true vine, our Lord Jesus Christ, sent here on this earth to be planted, to die, as we said, for all of us to be part of him. So our theme this morning is to abide in Christ. And we will look at three points of what that means to abide in Christ. And then we will have three points, three more practical points. But it's all very simple, and I'm sure this is mainly a reminder for you and me. So let's look at the first point this morning. Jesus is the true vine. He starts by saying this amazing statement, I am the true vine. And this is the last I am expression that Jesus uses in the Gospel of John. Do you remember any other occasion when Jesus used this statement, I am something? Do you remember? If you do, please do shout. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. I am the light of the world. Jesus is for us God incarnate, Son of God sent on this earth. It's very interesting that he says, I am the true vine. He doesn't say, I am one of the vines, or I am a vine. No, he says, I am the true vine. He is the source of life. And if you want real spiritual life, he is the only source where we can find that. Because apart from him, we are spiritually dry. You know, we have this verse here in John chapter 11. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. As a church, as individuals, we are all and everything in him and through him. In him was life, and that life was the light of the world. In him, we receive life, grace, and strength, and truth. And how many of you, as you remember maybe from your life without Christ, how many of you felt with no direction, with no purpose? I felt the same. Before I met our Lord Jesus Christ, I was wandering around, trying to find meaning for my life, trying to find purpose. And what is life without God? It's competition, isn't it? We look around us at work, competition, envy, addictions, and all sort of other things trying to capture our life, trying to keep us away from what is truth and truthful and meaningful. We sadly look at celebrities' life. Very often we see, without God, what's the purpose of everything? You know, what's the purpose of our life without God? And I read a quote recently by an anonymous writer, which sadly summarizes the life of many people I know. It says here, first, I was dying to finish school and start college. And then I was dying to finish college and start working. And then I was dying to marry and have children. And then I was dying for my children to grow old enough for school so I could return to work. And then I was dying to retire. And now I'm dying. And I suddenly realize I forgot to live. You know, this short passage tells us that without Jesus, where are we going? Where are we heading to? Because he is the true vine. He is the word of God for us. He has come to give us forgiveness, to give us a new life, a new perspective. His love, his resurrection, that is the truth for us. He is the source of our life here. He is the source of our eternal life. And he gives us identity in Christ, true identity of who God created you and me to be, a branch in him, abiding in him. Because no matter who you are and what's your background and where you're coming from, we all have a place in him. And that is the amazing truth. We're gathered here in his name because he is the true vine. So let's remember this first truth of the passage. And then the second point for us to reflect is that fruitfulness comes only through connection. Only through connection. And he says clearly, abide in me and I in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And as I was preparing this message, I thought, wow, how relevant is this text for King's Church? And for all of us, but in particular for the King's Church during this time you're going through. You know, how important it is for the leadership to abide in him. How important it is for the whole church to abide in Christ. And for everyone to pray for each other during this time, as I heard you are doing, so keep doing that. As you navigate through this time, you need unity in Christ, and that only comes through him, because his promise is, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you every day of your lives. So this will help you as a fellowship to trust the leadership during this time, the leadership you have appointed to navigate and pray and seek the will of God with wise decisions. And as we've seen, staying in Christ is not about trying harder, but it's about staying connected. Because everything in the world and, the evil one is always trying to disconnect us from God, isn't it? Like a phone, you lose the battery, it's useless, isn't it? So we always need to stay connected and be charged by the Holy Spirit. And you see, the branch in the vine doesn't produce fruits by its own efforts. It's through staying connected to the vine. This connection leads to emptiness, but connection leads to abundance and joy, as we heard, purpose. And in Him, we can finally rest in a way over the stress and the challenges of life, because in Him, we finally arrived home. And He made the promise, our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Wow. His promise is for this life that we will find purpose and joy, but it's also for eternal life in Him. No one else could promise and provide that in such a clear manner. So the advice for us this morning is we should never give up, because He will never give up on you or on me. And then abiding in Him leads to love and obedience. He says in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now abide in my love, He says. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. God's commandments, which I understood later in my Christian life, I thought God's commandments is like something against me, keeping me from enjoying life and so forth. But God's commandments, I understood later, they are not for Him. They are for me. They are for us to have a happy, a fulfilled life, if you like. Because, for example, I like chocolate, right? I like lots of chocolate. If it was for me, I would eat chocolate with everything, with soup, with barbecue, you have it. But if I eat chocolate with no boundaries, that's not good for me. I'll end up sick or with diabetes, right? But if I eat chocolate on a regular basis, small amounts, I can enjoy chocolate all my life, right? And it's the same with God's commandments for us. They are for our benefits. They are for our happiness in this life. So it's not legalism. Obedience is the natural overflow of joy in our lives. When we obey in our Lord Jesus Christ, what is the result? We see there in the text. In verse 11, joy that remains. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Wow. A complete joy in Him. Something that this world will never give us. And then the result is friendship with Jesus. He says in verse 15, I will no longer call you servants. Instead, I've called you friends. Living our lives as friends of the King of Kings, of the Son of God. Wow. And then it's a life that glorifies the Father. In verse 8, it says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And separated from God, we read, we can do nothing. We can do nothing. And I dare to add, we can do nothing good, because we can do lots of bad things. And it's the same when we are not staying connected to God. It's so easy to be bad, isn't it? We don't need to do any efforts for that either. You become selfish. You think of your own things, how to achieve this, how to, follow your dreams and your passions, disregarding others in our lives. But if I am connected to God, I'm starting to follow the benefit of other people's in my life. As Jesus said, Whoever tries to gain his life, he will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me, for others, with love, sharing, giving, because we forget, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And that is the teaching we have here. And you see, the branch in the vine doesn't say, oh, I'm going to, you know, strengthen my muscles to produce more fruits. No. For the fact that it's connected to the vine, the fruits are coming naturally. The fact that we are connected to Jesus through the Holy Spirit, the fruits in our lives come naturally. And we know the fruits of the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. We know them. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is the promise we have, staying connected in Him. Now let's look at three practical applications from this session. And again, very simple truths. Abiding in Christ means staying in His word daily. We can add daily. He says in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. We see abiding involves scripture, meditation, and obedience. Let his word dwell in you richly. You know, our Lord Jesus used the word of God to fight any temptations in his life. Him himself used the word of God. And let's read the Bible not just for information, but for transformation. When we read the scripture, just to ask the question, what is God saying to me from this? How can I live it out in my life? You know, staying in the word will bear fruits in our lives. And just to make it clear, the fruits are not for our salvation. The fruits are showing we are belonging, we belong to Christ. The fruits in our lives shows that we are saved. And actually the text says, you know, we have fruit and then it's a progression, more fruit and then much fruit. And this is our life with Jesus as individuals and as a church. And you know, the fruits in our lives, again, is not just for our own delight. Yes, we have joy. But the fruits in our lives is for others' benefits. Others will rejoice in seeing the fruits in our lives and it will be blessed by those fruits. You know, as a youth leader in the past, I had a chat with younger people, and as it happens, you know, they make a list for their future spouse, wife or husband, and one of the younger men came to me and said, look, I have this list, this is what I'm expecting for my future wife, you know, to have a degree, to have a good job, a car or a house. And I just had the chat and I said, now turn that list and look yourself in the list and see how many of those points you actually have in your life. Yeah, but I'm a good deal. Okay. So we see sometimes we have expectations from other people to bless us. But the question is this morning, how can I be a blessing for the fellowship? How can I be a blessing for my family? How can I be a blessing for the people around me? Because you see, a gardener, and I'm not a very good gardener, but I know you enjoy the results of your hard work as a gardener. When people are coming and say, wow, you cut the grass really nicely. Let's look at those flowers. Look at these trees. It's the same with God. He rejoices as a gardener when we, as His children, we rejoice in His vineyard. We stay focused on Jesus. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, because for the joy set before him, as the vine, as the gardener, for the joy set before him, he suffered tremendously for you and me, because he knew me and you at some point in history, we will come and follow him, and we will abide in him. So for that joy, he endured the cross for you and me. And then the second practical thing to do is to pray with dependence, but trusting God. In verse 7, This is an amazing promise, but also there is a statement there as a condition. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. You know, the verse has a condition and a result. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, the result is ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So we are invited to abide in Christ through prayer, consistent prayer. And prayer is not a wish list. You know, this is my wish list for God to fulfill in my life. But it's actually an attitude towards God with thankful hearts. When we abide, our prayers align with God's will, right? We keep an open heart for God to talk to him daily. You know, in our busy world, sometimes prayer becomes a ticking box exercise, isn't it? But prayer means two-way communication. Sometimes we need to stop and hear from God. Yes, we prayed, we asked, we thank him. Now what does he has to tell us? And again, I remember a young man come to me once and he was saying, I'm disappointed with God. He says, ask whatever you wish and it will be given. And I'm praying for this girl to be my fiance, and he doesn't listen, he doesn't answer. And I said, but have you talked to the girl? No, she thinks we're not fit for each other. Well, I think she's wiser, isn't she? Because God is not there to meet our agenda. We are on this earth to meet his agenda. You know, he's not like a genie in a lamp fulfilling our desires, our wishes. He's a loving father, knowing what's better for you and me. And we abide in him, again, we will ask things that he knows we need. He knows they're good for us. And let's remember, God's answer to prayer could be no. Yes. It could be not now. No, it's not the time. God's answer to prayer could be no, I'll give you this instead. Not what you're asking. And God's answer to prayer, yes, can be yes, I will give you that. But we often forget that a no from God is still an answer to prayer. Right? A no from God is still an answer to prayer. And we often forget to say, thank you, Lord. If it's a no from you, I'll take it as an answer for now. Because his plans are for us. He wants to prosper us. He wants to bless us in life. And that's why we need to pray consistently, but trusting God, not our own desires or understanding. And then the final point, a practical point. Abiding in Christ is walking in love with others. And I think this is a key teaching for us as children of God. This is what differentiates, if you like, Christianity from all other religions. Is this amazing love, a love for God, God's love for us, our love for each other. This is something unique to Christianity. In his revelation, God says he is love. And in his Holy Spirit, he wants us to understand and have love for him and love for each other. You know, the essence of the Bible, love God and love others as you love yourself, right? That is the essence. And it says here in chapter 15, verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. A new command I give you in John 13, love one another as I have loved you. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We see, it doesn't say by your doctrines, by your teachings, by your traditions. No. By the love we have for each other, the world will know that we are his disciples. Amen? So abiding in Christ is followed by our overflow of love for others. And that is a key control, if you like, for us. Yes? Is our heart full of love for God? How do I see that? If my heart is full of love for others. And you know, C.S. Lewis used to say in his book, Mere Christianity, he says, God wants to teach us how to love others by putting difficult people in our lives. If all the people in my life will be like my mom, I'll give them hugs every day. But God wants to teach us what true love is by putting difficult people around us. Because let's be honest, how much God forgave me, how much God loves me and he keeps forgiving me and he lifts me up. We are not perfect, right? We are believers and we are in a journey. God is still working in our lives. But you see, we have this triangle here. And maybe you've seen this in other presentations, but it's so important to have this picture. If you want to get closer in your relationship, whatever relationships, family, husband, wife, children, relatives, neighbors, church members, remember this. The closer you are with God, you see those arrows? This is person A, this is person B, me and someone else. The closer we both go to God, the closer we become to each other. We got it? The closer you stay with God, the easier it will be for you to love anyone. Now you see, the truth is they both need to come close to God. If only one goes to come close to God, the other one will still be at the base of the triangle there. But the change in your heart is amazing because you will be able to love whatever people have done for you in the past. You will have power to forgive them and move on. You know, we seek forgiveness to serve others and build community. So this is such an amazing truth that I've tested all over in my life, and I'm sure you have as well. So God is in control. He is the gardener. He has everything under his control. So in conclusion from this morning, let's reflect on this final question. What is God's will for you and me? What is truly God's will for you and me? Because we hear this very often. What's God's will for me? And his will is for you and me to abide in him. What's God's will for a church, any church? For the church to abide in him. To abide in him. That is God's will. And just like a vineyard requires constant care, so do our hearts and souls. We are bombarded every day, as you know, with lies, misinformation, you know, trying, the evil one trying to keep us away from a fulfilled and joyful life. And here, I just wanted to give an example. My grandmother, she's now with the Lord, but she was such an inspiration for me and the whole family, actually, a hardworking woman, full of wisdom. But she had the vineyard, actually, which I remembered while I was reading this text. And as a child, I used to watch her, how she looked after that vineyard, you know. I could see her getting ready. She had scissors, she had rope and other things to start cleaning and tidy up the vineyard. She had a clay bottle. She put it in the ground there where it was cool, to keep it cool. Organize the tools, getting ready for action. And although you did not understand what she was doing, but clearly there was method and wisdom. The way she cut the branches, the way she tied them up, the way she cleaned them, you know, you would not understand. It seems like all it's a random things that she was doing. But actually, at the harvest, you would finally understand what she was doing when you see the grapes in their fullness and the juicy and tasty grapes. And then, you know, the connoisseur will taste that wine, and like it was like no other wine I've ever tried. So, you know, we will only truly appreciate what God is doing in our lives at the harvest or later on in life. Sometimes maybe things in our lives doesn't make sense. There are harder things. We go through hardship and we don't understand why God, why is this happening? And sometimes we don't fully understand his work in our lives. But from this morning, we learn, take heart, trust in the Lord. He is the gardener and he is at work in your life. He's doing the right things. He's pruning us. He's cleaning us. He's getting us ready for the harvest. A harvest in your life for a fulfilled, blessed life, full of purpose. And a harvest for this church, for King's Church, where God is preparing everything that you will rejoice in this ministry. As he says in John chapter 10, verse 10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. With our Lord Jesus, life is to the full. And we see these two images here. Just wanted to highlight. Disconnected from God. A messy life, isn't it? Dry, no fruits. But with God, a life with a direction, a life with purpose. As for my grandmother, as I mentioned, if you looked ahead of her, it was all messy, all over the place. But if you look behind her, you are something like that, all in order. And it's the same in our lives. Where Jesus was present and is present, it's all clear and a peace that surpasses all understanding. Where Jesus hasn't been there, it's all messy all around us. So the call this morning for all of us is to leave the wilderness and start abiding in our Lord Jesus Christ with our hearts, with our lives, with everything we have. Because this church is like a vineyard canopy, like this image here. And you see what happens? Those branches are supporting each other. They are intertwined. We can't do it alone. So in this church, I pray that God will strengthen you, that God will keep you in his love, abiding in him, supporting one another, intertwined, praying for each other, helping each other and supporting each other in his love, because we are not meant to be alone. So I pray that God will bless you with his spirit, with his love, and with his fruits from the Holy Spirit. So let me just pray for all of us. Father God, we thank you for this message for us this morning. We thank you, Father, for the reminder that you are the gardener, you are the creator. You've created everything, Father, for us. And thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the true vine. He is the true vine you sent to be planted on this earth, Father. So he died, he resurrected, so now we can all have life in him, staying connected to him. So, Father, help us as individuals, as families. Help us to stay connected in you. Stay connected in our hearts, in our minds, in your word, in prayer, Father, and in love for you and for one another. Help us to understand your will for us is to abide in you. And, Father, I pray that everyone present here and the whole church, the whole fellowship, will abide in you. And in that way, Father, we will all rejoice the fruits and the joy and the peace you will put in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Thank you for your time. Amen. Thank you.